This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
I want you to imagine something. You go to town one day and you see a little crowd down the street. You wonder what's going on down there. You're afraid something bad may have happened. You get there, and there's a man standing there, has a pad in his hand, and he's talking to people, and he stops you and he says, could you have time for me to just ask you a question? And he says, could you tell me why you believe what you believe about God in the Bible? You say, well, you know, I've never thought about it. I've never been asked that question before. I've really never thought about it. But you know, I suppose I should be able to. You know, all of us should be able to give an answer. In 1 Peter 3:15, Peter said we ought to be able to give an answer to every man. And we're following that theme on getting to know your Bible, being able to give an answer to every man. We hope you'll stay tuned today as we continue along that line, giving an answer for what we believe. I'm Billy Lambert. I'm a speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and I want to welcome you today, especially if this is the first time you've ever seen the program. And if it is, I want you to tell someone else about it. Tell them to tune in at the same time next time we're on. Now, today, we're offering a free Bible correspondence course. I emphasize free. You say, now, preacher, you know it's not free. It'll have to cost somebody something. Well, it's not going to cost you anything except enough of your time to let us know to send it to you. That you might know more about the course and how to receive it, we're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
On one occasion, a youth group was asked this question: what do you think of when you think of the word heaven, or when you hear the word heaven? Here's some of their responses. One said, I think of where God is. Another said, where Jesus is. Another said, where the angels are. That's what I think of. And then I think about outer space when I hear the word heaven. Another says, I think of where all of the saved people go when they die. Then they were asked this question: how often do you think about heaven? And one responded, not very often. And that's at least being honest, isn't it? Not very often. Another said, I think about heaven when I pray. I think about heaven, another said, when the preacher talks about it. Another said, I thought about heaven when my grandmother died. And then I think about heaven when I get outside at night and I look up at the stars. That's when I think about heaven. Heaven. Oh, how beautiful heaven must be. And how wonderful it is to know that there is a heaven. Among some of the sweetest words in the English language are these three: mother, home, and heaven. And yet the idea about heaven is scorned by some people. They think that's just a figment of someone's distorted imagination, or maybe the idea of heaven is a carryover of some previously unenlightened age, or maybe the idea of heaven is just some puritanical thought that you might have. But so far as the Christian is concerned, it's our ultimate goal to go to heaven one day. Well, what is heaven? Well, is it just an idea? Is it just a concept? Well, first of all, I'd point out that heaven is a real place. In the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus said heaven is a real place. I know it's difficult for us to comprehend the idea of heaven. But I believe heaven is real, and I want to give you some reasons why I believe heaven is real. And reason number one is this. The soul of man has always longed for such a place. All men, whether they're savage or whether they're civilized, whether educated, whether uneducated, whether rich, whether they're poor, have all had a longing for a land beyond this world, a land fairer than day. A little boy was out flying his kite one day, and he'd gone up so high that you couldn't actually see the kite. All you could see was a string in his hand, and someone said, Son, how do you know that your kite is still up there? He said, I feel it tug on me every once in a while. And isn't there that tug within us that longs for a place called heaven? I believe heaven is real not only because we long for such a place, but because justice demands such a place. Our God is a holy God. And when His holiness has been violated, God's holiness demands justice. And God is a just God. And the question is asked in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25. Shall not the judge of all of the earth do right? And that's really a rhetorical question. The answer is indeed He will. Whatever the circumstance, God will do what's right. And because there is so much injustice in our world, where tyrants have sat on their thrones and bathed the world in blood and in tears, taking the lives of countless millions and billions of people, for God to be a just God, He must punish those evildoers. But on the other hand, because of His justice, God will reward those who serve Him faithfully to the end. His justice demands a place called heaven. A third reason I believe heaven is real is because man is not adapted to stay here forever. Think about it. I can't see you, but I have an idea that some that are watching, getting to know your Bible right now, some are young, some are old. And the very fact that some are young and some are old is indicative of the truth that we will not remain here forever. You see, man is a composite being of body and soul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in the 16th verse, Paul wrote, For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, and our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul talked about the outward man, the inward man. And what you see of me right now is the outward man. But there is an inward man that you cannot see. Now, the outward man is getting older day by day by day. And the outward man is perishing day by day. But the inward man is growing stronger day by day. And one day, this old outward man will be laid beneath the sod of the earth. to await the coming of Christ and the resurrection of the last day. Folks, we're just not adapted to stay here forever. We're going somewhere. And I believe that place is heaven. Another reason I believe that heaven is real is because that's exactly what your Bible teaches. Yours and mine teach that. Listen to Jesus. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. He said, heaven is real. In Philippians chapter 3, and in verse number 20, the apostle said, your citizenship is in heaven. You say, so far as a Christian is concerned, you have two addresses. One is an earthly address. Another is a heavenly address. Our real citizenship is in heaven above. You see, the Bible teaches that heaven is real. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter and verse 1, Paul there wrote, if you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. So the Bible teaches that heaven is a real place. And I believe with all of my heart and all of my soul, heaven is real. What is heaven like? Heaven is God's dwelling place. Listen to a statement made in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26 and verse 15. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven. And God looks down from his holy habitation, his holy dwelling place. And that is in heaven. But then, what is heaven like? It is the Christian's hope. It is our hope. And there are so many hopeless people today. You've gone through some difficult times the last couple of years. All people have. And it's left so many people feeling hopeless. But we need not be hopeless as long as we have Him who is our hope. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. I want to call your attention to a passage in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Now listen carefully. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, God's abundant mercy, has begotten us to a living hope through Jesus Christ the Lord. Through Jesus Christ we have a living hope. Living hope. Now let me read verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Let me ask you, have you made your reservations with God? You see, that's what heaven is like. It's a place that's been reserved for you. And we have that hope because of Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is indeed to think about heaven and what we have to look forward to as Christians. But let me ask you, what is heaven like? What is it going to be like once we get there? You know, there's so many things about heaven that we do not know. And I would be rather presumptuous to try to tell you just exactly what heaven is going to be like. But I can tell you for certain, because of the Bible, especially in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, that heaven is a place where there is no sorrow. Our world right now is full of sorrow. I think about those whose lives have been lost in war, leaving behind families that are sorrowing, grieving over their losses. I'm thinking of those who lost their loved ones because of death to COVID, to heart attacks, to cancer. They're grieving because of their losses. Their hearts are filled with sorrow. But there will be absolutely nothing in heaven that can create sorrow. It will be gone. Heaven is a place where there's no pain. In all probability, I'm speaking to someone right now whose body is racked with pain. You never have a day that you don't have pain. Maybe it's because of an accident you may have been in that's left you with pain. It may be because you've just had surgery. It may be because you have arthritis. It may be because you have migraine headaches. And it just may be pain of the heart, emotional pain. But this passage I'm mentioning in Revelation 21 and verse 4 says there's no pain in heaven. You'll not have to worry about ever hurting again in heaven. No pain. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wonderful. Heaven is a place where there's no death. This passage, that same passage says there'll be no dying there. You will not have to prepare for a funeral. You will never attend a funeral. You'll not have to think about your death because there will be no death in heaven. And heaven is a place where there will be no sin. We live in a world that's literally saturated with sin, filled with sin, overflowing with sin. But not heaven. Revelation 21, 27 says, there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth or worketh abomination or maketh a lie. And so there are certain things that are not going to be there. There'll not be abominable people there. Liars will not be in heaven. Revelation 21 and verse 8 teaches that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And so there will be no sin in heaven. And there will be no separation in heaven. We'll be together for all eternity. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And heaven is a place where there is no darkness. Because God and the Lamb will be the light there, according to the book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 5. Heaven is a wonderful place. And I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven more than any other thing. I want to go to heaven because my heavenly Father is there. Jesus said to pray like this, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father is there. I want to go to heaven because the redeemed of all of the ages are there. Matthew 8 and 11 says they'll come from the east and the west, and they'll sit down in the kingdom of God with the likes of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so all of the redeemed of all of the ages are going to be there. And then I want to go to heaven because it's just got to be the most beautiful place that's ever existed. The most beautiful place that we will ever see. Eyes not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Now, if you put that passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in its context, I believe he's talking about what God has revealed so far as His Word is concerned. But if you take that passage out of the context and use it sort of in a accommodative way, when we think about heaven, I don't believe we've ever seen, we've never heard, it's never entered into our hearts what God has prepared for us on life's other side. I want to go to heaven because I have been invited. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Do you feel burdened? Has the burden of sin just about gotten you down? Jesus said, I want your burden, and I want to lift it off of you. And I want you to go to heaven one day. I've been invited to go to heaven, and so have you. But you're going to have to make the preparation necessary to go to heaven, because heaven is a place that has been prepared for a prepared people. I want to go to heaven because I have been invited to go. Will you accept the invitation? You see, to go to heaven, your name must be written in heaven. In Luke, the 10th chapter, the 70 had been sent out on a limited commission. They'd been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when they came back, they were rejoicing, and they told the Lord, said, even the devils are subject unto us in your name. And Jesus, you don't need to be, Jesus said to them, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And what joy it ought to be to us to know that our name is written in heaven. Have you ever thought about the opposite side of that coin? Suppose it's not. Revelation 20:15 says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name written there? There's a song I've been hearing all of my life in worship services. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called of all of those who are in the Lord's book, in the Lamb's book of life, written in heaven, question is, will your name be there? How do you get your name enrolled? Is it by just thinking it is? Somebody says, I just can't believe the Lord wouldn't let me go to heaven one day. You just think that's the case, don't you? May I remind you, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. We don't need to think about it. We need to know. We need to know beyond a shade of a doubt that our names are in the Lamb's book of life. Another one says, I think all you have to do is just be honest and be sincere. There's never been a more sincere man of Saul of Tarsus. He thought he was doing God's service when he's killing Christians and having others put into jail. And he said, I lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. But he learned later that he was wrong. He was misled. Someone says, I think all you have to do is just say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says that man is not justified by faith alone, James chapter 2. You see, a mental asset to faith in Christ is not sufficient, or else you have eliminated the necessity of repenting of your sins, which is essential. Someone says, I think all you have to do is just live a good moral life. You need to be good to your family, pay your taxes, join the PTA, be a coach for Little League ball, and one day when you die, you're going to heaven. Let me tell you about a fellow like that. Well, I don't think he joined the PTA, or as far as we know, he didn't coach Little League ball, but his name was Cornelius. And he was a soldier. He was a leader of a band called the Italian Band. And in Acts chapter 10, we're told that he was a man who feared God with all of his house. And he's a man who gave much alms to the poor, and his prayers went up as a memorial before God. But he needed Jesus. That being just a good moral person might keep you out of jail, but it will take the blood of Jesus to save your soul. It will take the blood of Jesus to keep you from being lost eternally. Now I want to give you a proposition. And I want you to be honest with me and honest with yourself. And I want you to be honest with God and honest with His Word. If we could learn from the Bible what men and women did in the first century to have their names written in heaven, or to put it another way, to be saved, if we were to duplicate that today, does not it seem logical that we would have the same effect and same response and same conclusion today that they had in the first century? In other words, if I can learn from the Bible how people were saved, which resulted in their names being written in heaven, and I did that same thing today, would my name not be written there? In Acts the second chapter, the day is Pentecost. The speaker is Peter. And the people are those who were guilty of crucifying the Son of God. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. That is, when they heard they had crucified the Messiah. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter answered and said unto them, "Repent." Anything else, Peter? "And," that simply means in addition to, "be baptized." By whose authority? "In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." That's the purpose of it. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And that day there were about 3,000 that were baptized. Verse 41. And verse 47 says the Lord just added those people to the church, those that were being saved. Would you do that today? If you would do that, your name would be written in heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place. Let's all go to heaven. I want to thank you for watching today. And in the closing moments, I want to give you a personal invitation to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And right now, I want you to pick up the telephone and call for the free Bible correspondence course. Please don't hesitate to do that. It's free. And we'll send it to you just as soon as possible so that you can study it in the privacy of your home. I want to thank you for watching today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.